this has a circle, and it says I dot ear dot I dot ear dot I dot ear dot I dot ear dot I dot ear dot. Goes around in a circle. And it says below it, the first, quote, sensory training kit, unquote, in brackets, volume 1, number 3 of the Dewline newsletter, comprised two principal components. Dr. McLuhan's then latest book, War and Peace in the Global Village, and a 23-page exploratory essay, the main subject of which was the presentation and contrast of two sharply distinct literary styles. These were the, in quotes, linear, unquote, or rational, and that's in quotes, as presented for contrast and as adopted for the essay, and the nonlinear, in quotes, mosaic, unquote, style favored by Dr. McLuhan. So I'll repeat that sentence. These were the linear, two literary styles, the linear or rational and the nonlinear mosaic, which was favored. The nonlinear mosaic is favored by Dr. McLuhan. As noted then, both modes are deliberate and play a definite role in the literary expression of our time, but proceed towards separate effects. The latter, nonlinear mode, is uniquely contemporary insofar as it reflects to one degree or another the new structures through which information is now processed environmentally. These structures are most evident in the various, and in brackets, but in structural terms highly similar, in bracket, formats. So I'll read that again. These structures are most evident in the various formats adopted by the mass media, particularly the press, radio, magazines, and TV. But they're in structural terms highly similar. For example, while point-to-point writing is visually organized, the alternative nonlinear style favors much greater compression and as a consequence achieves much of its effect, and in brackets, and its poetry, through juxtaposition. Juxtaposition is italicized. Then in brackets, for example, one effect, that of reader participation, can be achieved simply by removing some of the ordinary visual connections found in prose, colon, by allowing two or more items to resonate in juxtaposition, the reader is called upon to, quote, supply the missing links, unquote, as it were, and thereby is involved in the cognitive and recognitive processes. This is the technique of the detective story and one of the reasons for its appeal. Similarly, it underlies the, quote, technique of the suspended judgment, unquote, since the involvement created by filling in or following a process, filling in is in quotes, or following a process, in brackets in the above case cognition, the involvement created by filling in or following a process is antithetic to the detachment necessary for values appraisal. It is vital for you, not only as a subscriber to the McLuhan Dewline, but also as a participant in this ever-shifting galaxy of environments, to observe consciously, perhaps for the first time, the patterns and effects of the often random speeds and juxtapositions of information that occur in your own information environment. This will serve as another important, quote, first step, unquote, in developing your own forms of media awareness. One of the first discoveries that are made thus is of the relation that exists between the way in which information is structured and the speeds with which it is transmitted. In brackets, slow speeds of information transfer, read that again, slow speeds of information transfer permit and encourage linear organization. Higher speeds tend towards simultaneous presentation or juxtaposition of data and hence are nonlinear, end of bracket parts. This in turn leads directly to an awareness of the various media as structuring influences. As these relationships are gradually linked to social structures and to social and cultural evolution, in brackets which must needs occur whenever some new medium and consequently new speed and structure of communication is introduced, close bracket, the necessity of studying the relationship between communication and perception becomes increasingly evident. I read that slightly differently, or the main point. As these relationships are gradually linked to social structures and to social and cultural evolution, the necessity of studying the relationship between communication and perception becomes increasingly evident. Obviously, in a time when technological innovation and resultant social and cultural evolution proceeds slowly, there exists no great necessity for, in brackets, nor probability of, close bracket, these deliberations. I'll read that again. Obviously, in a time when technological innovation and resultant social and cultural evolution proceeds slowly, there exists no great necessity for these deliberations. That's when it's done slowly. On the other hand, when the evolutionary pace is accelerated to the point where, quote, only change is constant, unquote, or, in brackets, and perhaps more accurately for the present, close bracket, or only the rate of change, the acceleration factor, acceleration rate and acceleration italicized, only the rate of change, the acceleration factor, becomes a constant, then these awarenesses assume paramount importance as a means of directing the individual and culture for survival. So read that again. On the other hand, when the evolutionary pace is accelerated to the point where only change is constant, or only the rate of change, the acceleration factor becomes a constant, then these awarenesses assume paramount importance as a means of directing the individual and culture for survival. When the rate of information movement within a society is slow, the information can be processed visually, item for item, in a logical, rational manner. When, however, the flow rate approaches instantaneity, as with electric speeds of processing, data and item study must yield to field and pattern awareness. The perceptual orientation of the culture, as well as those of its members, is modified accordingly, and audile tactile synesthesia becomes dominant. See that? Audile hyphen tactile synesthesia becomes dominant. The present kit explores in some depth the two, quote, polar, unquote, modalities of visual and audile tactile. It is also presented in an auditory manner, auditory in quotes, in that instead of providing a single viewpoint approach to the problem of understanding these forms, several and diverse approaches are used simultaneously. These are A, the sound slash sight essay by Tony Schwartz, B, an essay by Dr. McLuhan, C, the comprehensive analysis by Mr. Barrington Nevitt, and D, these notes that I'm reading. Let me comment upon each of them in turn. A, for our first move of many in brackets, into sound. For our first move into sound, Tony Schwartz has provided his own study in contrast. The title, The Sound of Sight slash The Sight of Sound, period. As per Joyce's warning, quote, these are the words the reader will see, but not those he will hear, unquote. A reading of the transcribed comments does not begin to approximate the range or immediacy of emotion and involvement communicable by the actual speaker's voices. I read that again. A reading of the transcribed comments does not begin to approximate the range or immediacy of emotion and involvement communicable by the actual speaker's voices. B, the longer piece by Mr. Barrington Nevitt explores in some detail the contrast between the auditory and visual senses in terms of their relative spheres of operation in both low and high definition, their modalities of influence and effect, and their spatial characteristics. Mr. Nevitt's contention is that, quote, communication systems not only transfer but actually transform information, since each communication medium induces qualitatively different subjective responses that depend not only upon the definition of its input, but also upon the sensory bias of the recipient. Exploration of the media effects leads to new approaches in organizing information for discovery and prediction, unquote. Nevitt develops this to show how, quote, a new synthesis of communication. I'll read that again. Nevitt develops this to show how, quote, a new synthesis of communication, arts and sciences, so a new kind of a synthesis of communication arts and communication sciences is now developing to reveal the interaction of communication media with people in their changing psychic and social environments. So I'll add this comment. McLuhan is saying he's synthesize McLuhan Arts and Sciences. This synthesis yields fresh insights into the processes of exploring, discovering, and predicting, hyphen of, quote, making the new, unquote, rather than matching the old, in quotes. These insights suggest that today's most basic but mainly hidden cultural conflict is between the old fragmenting mechanical environment and the new integrating electric environment of worldwide instantaneous communication. Quote, software, unquote, is replacing, quote, hardware, unquote, and people are rapidly learning to supply the information needed for machines to deliver the goods. As, in italics, as information itself becomes a chief environmental component, this approach also suggests how people may learn to create total environments for serving human aspirations while avoiding some potentially harmful consequences. It is important to note, however, that while an understanding of the fundamental distinction between these poles is a definite aid to exploring and analyzing patterns of recent change, another less distinct element has begun to play an equal role in the restructuring of the present, - the tactile sense. So this is where he spells out that, yes, there's the visual and acoustic poles, but there's a third factor, tactility. And that's really what McLuhan's about, is illustrating tactility. So this is one of the rare times where he says this outright, that besides the poles, okay, it says, it is important to note, however, that while an understanding of the fundamental distinctions between these poles of visual and acoustic space is a definite aid to exploring and analyzing patterns of recent change, another less distinct element has begun to play an equal role in the restructuring of the present, hyphen, the tactile sense. Then he has in brackets, in general, since the visual sense tends to operate in isolation by depressing the other senses, while the auditory tends to include the other senses in its operations, comparing and contrasting the two is a relatively easy matter. On the other hand, while contrasts between the visual and tactile are as easily discernible as those between visual and auditory, distinctions between audible and tactile are in the main of extreme subtlety and may for present purposes be considered as more of degree than of, quote, quality, unquote. Temporarily, then, one general way of discerning the signs of tactility through Mr. Nevitt's remarks is by exaggeration. : Broadly speaking, tactility enormously intensifies the effects and characteristics Nevitt lists as, quote, auditory, unquote, as well as accelerating significantly the rate of change away from the visual. Rates in italics. So I'll read that again. So he's pointing out that it's hard to define the audible as opposed to the tactile. But when you know that tactility is not a sense and the audible is, that points out the difference. But this is, so McLuhan is moving out his, what has been for 8 Dewline newsletters, a repeating idea about the contrast between eye and ear. And remember, this essay is called Eye, Ear, but it's in a circle. And he's now bringing in this third element, which for many people never got communicated. So reading the last line, temporarily then, one general way of discerning the signs of tactility through Mr. Nevitt's remarks is by exaggeration. Broadly speaking, tactility enormously intensifies the effects and characteristics he lists as auditory, as well as accelerating significantly the rate of change away from the visual. So that was the second part of the kit. The third part, C, Dr. McLuhan's comments draw, and all of the other components of this kit in quotes, and exemplify their direct application. They interrelate the identity patterns of West, which is in brackets eye, and East, in brackets ear, to the dilemma of the, quote, TV child, unquote, caught in the environmental gap between hardware and software. Now, I'm going to read that again, but there was an editor's note in the previous paragraph talking about what Nevitt was doing with the word auditory. It says, editor's note, a kit, in quotes, a kit on touch, similar to the present one on eye and ear, is in preparation. So he's talking about eye and ear, but he's bringing in the tactility, but he's considering this a kit on eye and ear, and a kit on touch is coming in the future. So he says, Dr. McLuhan's comments draw on all of the other components of this kit and exemplify their direct application. They interrelate the identity patterns of West eye and East ear to the dilemma of the TV child caught in the environmental gap between hardware and software. They then point out the identical dilemma faced by the entire Western bureaucracy. In brackets, in this regard, the Pueblo drama serves as an ideal microcosm hyphen mirror, reflecting also the entire current Western cultural crisis. End of bracket. In addition, the concept of, quote, sacral space, unquote, as uniquely new to Western experience and a component in the above dilemma, is introduced for consideration. Sacral space. In any society, the first element to detect and react to new forms and patterns of change is that which Pound called the, quote, antennae of the race, unquote, hyphen, the arts and artists. Perhaps the next element, since its survival depends upon its contemporary stance, is business. The remainder, the more heavily bureaucratized governmental and educational structures, et al., tend to resist rapid change more successfully. Evolution in the arts has always been accomplished instinctively, in business by trial and error, in government either by conquest or, brackets, as in the case of the U.S., for example, end of bracket, through a migratory, quote, fresh start, unquote, in a locale where no inhibiting bureaucratic or technological backlog of commitments exists. So the third phase, in government either by conquest or through a migratory fresh start in a locale where no inhibiting bureaucratic or technological backlog of commitments exists. So there's McLuhan predicting the outsourcing of American industry all around the third world, unbureaucratized, which McLuhan called the second world, not having Russian second world bureaucracy, pretty loose for dictatorships and things, ad hoc tyrannies to be built in that the American Pentagon requires, or thinks it requires. Then McLuhan says, obviously, too, governmental change cannot be accomplished through trial and error, since, quote, error, unquote, might mean anarchy. It must either be gradual, in brackets, if instinctive, in quotes, instinctive, pursuing the equally gradual shift in demands of a society, or where speed is mandatory to parallel a rapid social evolution, be conscious and deliberate, else anarchy may again result. So you don't do it by trial and error. And then McLuhan writes, it must either be gradual, if, quote, instinctive, unquote, in brackets. It must either be gradual or instinctive, pursuing the equally gradual shift in demands of a society, or where speed is mandatory to parallel a rapid social evolution, it must be conscious and deliberate, else anarchy may again result. So that's talking about what I call tetrad management. Then McLuhan says, in a consumer-oriented society, in brackets, such as our immediate past, close bracket, the business, the, quote, business of business, unquote, was the pursuit of the public, and the specialist mass production of hardware was geared to suit corporate needs, while, quote, image, unquote, and package alike were incidental and secondary. Advertising involved simply the education of the consumer public as to what commodities were available. Contemporary reversals of these structures involve, in brackets, to select just a few, close bracket, corporate production, involve corporate production to suit private needs, and the replacement in importance of, quote, product, unquote, by, quote, package, unquote, and overall effect. Advertising is more concerned with supplying effects and, in quotes, consumer, unquote, satisfactions than mere data or product touting, while the corporate attention is now focused primarily on, quote, image, unquote. In the same sense, the, quote, public, unquote, or mass audience now pursued, the public or mass audience now pursued the corporation. Hardware has yielded to software, in brackets, information, and, quote, image, unquote, close bracket, as a matter of prime concern. Hardware has yielded to software as a matter of prime concern. The corporate goal is to anticipate and, quote, put on, unquote, the mass's expectation of it. Quote, loss of face, unquote, is too easy and can be fatal. However, when as now, as Dr. McLuhan notes in the accompanying essay, goals are moving as rapidly as those who pursue them, survival depends on software, i.e., on a continuing awareness of perceptual shifts, on the ability to detect and predict subtle changes in the patterns of information structure. Otherwise, identity is, quote, lost, unquote, made irrelevant. The, quote, image, unquote, is, quote, out of sync, unquote, and disaster results. Now, I'm going to read that last section again. Do it quickly. In a consumer-oriented society, such as our immediate past, the business of business was the pursuit of the public, and the specialist mass production of hardware was geared to suit corporate needs, while image and package alike were incidental and secondary. Advertising involved simply the education of the consumer public as to what commodities were available. Contemporary reversals of these structures involve, to select just a few, corporate production to suit private needs, and the replacement in importance of product by package and overall effect. Advertising is more concerned with supplying effects and consumer satisfactions than mere data or product touting, while the corporate attention is now focused primarily on image. In the same sense, the public or mass audience now pursued the corporation. : hardware has yielded to software, information, and image as a matter of prime concern. The corporate goal is to anticipate and put on the masses' expectation of it. Loss of face is too easy and can be fatal. However, when as now, as Dr. McLuhan notes in the accompanying essay, goals are moving as rapidly as those who pursue them, survival depends on software, i.e. on a continuing awareness of perceptual shifts, on the ability to detect and predict subtle changes in the patterns of information structure. Otherwise, identity is lost and made irrelevant. The image is out of sync and disaster results. Okay, I'm going to unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Anybody got anything to say before we read McLuhan's short essay?
Many
that
things.
Was an introduction to...
Yeah, many things because... as I was asking Ayun about the tonalities and about perception,
this is
what I want to understand, what is really this input that...
And sensory closure. Sensory inputs and sensory closure is McLuhan's chart.
Yes, and the information we take from the environment.
Right.
And we call perception. But because it's the main subject by McLuhan, and he says the media changes how we perceive. For example, we were first... mainly acoustic, then visual, and now audio tactile.
Right.
So the media changes how we translate the tonality.
Perceive. Right. That's right.
Or perception of the tonality. How would you then describe it now that we know this from Ion?
Ion personalizes that process. When he talks about the experience molding you and then you altering that experience through your sovereignty and then the experience responding to you altering it, it gets into those kind of rants that Ion does, you know, where he piles up clause upon clause. You know what I mean? You will do this because that was your then you did this because that. He is taking mass changes in perception that the media does to whole populations and making it apply to you. He's pointing out the medium as the message and the user as the content all the time in human creativity. So he's adapting the general sociology of McLuhan to the psychology of your personal perception.
I understood tonight that everything's about this tonality. And
right.
What
and that
McLuhan
would be
was
tactility.
Saying, yeah, the media...
That would be audio tactile. Audio tactile.
Affect how you emanate the tonality and how you perceive the tonality.
Right. And it's a tactile interplay between you, the maker, and what the environment imposes on you. It's a game. It's a matching of pressures from your molding the environment and the environment, depending on what made the environment, molding you back. It's
yes,
a dialogue.
He asked me, what is coherence? But so for me, coherence is to make these logical connections of patterns we see or from the percepts we have.
No, you're saying patterns we see. You're saying, what about patterns we hear?
Yes. the patterns we recognize.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, what you've just said so far gave me... Okay, go ahead. There is. Go ahead. There is. What? What
you said? There is. The cognition side, the perception, without any
cognition.
Rational... Yeah.
Right. That's your senses molding.
Yes, and just the senses perceiving something and without understanding on analyzing it. And then,
but the mind comes into it, Roxy. Yes, the mind, the concepts come into
like,
it.
Yes, it's like we cannot separate that. So that's why I was talking about coherence.
Right.
But I'm not sure how would you call the coherence or the underlying, like making lucid patterns from what you perceive?
Allow. Right.
Allow?
Now, here's what, and remember, allow means to think. I got a new idea here. Tonalities is not just odd out. I think a good phrase for tonalities is odd out tactile.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a new way to define tonalities. It's actually all of the senses, but Ein favors the sound as opposed to the eye. But there must be the making aspect going on in the totalities, the frequency response of the what you accept as the environment and what you think you're controlling in the environment or molding. So odd out tactile is a good phrase when you understand it for the meaning of tonalities.
Yes, and another idea that which is very interesting is that media accelerate this vomiting of patterns that we have to translate faster.
Right. Okay, now I've said this many times. By 1974, he's saying the population is addicted to pattern recognition, the third Copernican revolution. He's saying in the 1560s the kids want patterns, they want insights. But the change has increased so much, and in a sense the Android meme took it over, and so the population was lost in trying to keep up with pattern recognition at a very accelerated pace that it looked like they were addicted to it.
Yes, it's actually, and, you know, the identity, it's out of sync.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Ion was saying this thing about the tonality, that you have to assent to have what I was calling coherence, because it's the only way you can keep up with the speed of the patterns being produced, of information being bombarded from the environment.
Yeah, you have a tactile response. You have a tactile response. You know what to drop and you know what to keep. You know that in general, you don't need to notice everything. Most people neurotically, by wanting to stay in touch with the mortar world and their sense of being embedded with other people, the crowd, are neurotically trying to keep up. So part of ascending is a detachment, a dropping. What do you say about me? Don't give any regard, pro or con. That has to be developed, but also your ability to engage the present, like Ion does, with full passionate involvement. It's a supreme kind of acting. That's interplay. And that's contrast and bliss.
So we could talk about ascension as a way of perceiving and making patterns, perceiving this tonality
and dropping
and
them.
Making patterns and dropping them faster.
And being the concern about the making of patterns at the same time. Remember, to have imagination, McLuhan says, you can't be embedded in the senses or their extensions. So he's implying that to be imaginative, it requires a certain involvement and detachment.
Yes, because the speed of the production of patterns is so fast, you cannot believe anymore in something and identify yourself with a certain belief.
Yes, you can't attach your beliefs or concepts to the rapid turmoil of perceptual demands. You can't keep your concepts up with it. And that's what people's identity is tied in with their belief, system, their conceptual baggage. And they don't have time to make the conceptual coherency. So that's why McLuhan says this leads to great alienation, you know, psychically. Either people get fed up and drop out, they might even start meditating, or join a group, a cult, or they become fanatically involved. They become maniacs, like terrorists. Yeah, no, you're not like that. Like terrorists.
I'm joking.
Yeah, good. Yeah, at least you're still detached enough to notice you were joking. That's good.
So, Bob, is McLuhan implying that imagination is connected to tactility?
Yes. Tactility is the ability to hold and let go. The hand, it grabs on the tree and it doesn't remain stuck to the tree. It can let go, then hold the tree again. That's beat and rhythm. The gap is very important in touch, as well as the physical contact or the kinetic pressure. It's the apprehending and letting go. And now imagine that happening to your sensory organization or your mind. And the interplay between the labyrinth of your mind, physical and non-physical, is a tactile interplay.
Yes. When I was listening to the outline that McLuhan laid out with the information structure and speed of transfer, I instantly thought of ION when we first start engaging them, how they throw, I mean, you get the impression that they're really speeding. I mean, it's not a speed, but you really get an effect of how fast the information that we've been programmed with, the literate bias that we have, that it sort of like speeds it up, so that now in engaging you and Payday, we have a different sense of pattern recognition, of just noticing things on a different level. And it's pretty neat to hear this McLuhan outline of tactility and the two poles of visual and acoustic. It's just...
it's appropriate.
I really like that tonight he asked me what is coherence, because that's a way of answering me. He's forcing me to think about it and make these patterns myself to change the way I define things, to change my language, the words I'm using.
Yeah, and the concepts that are lingering.
Like what we call logic. The logical connection in these patterns and he's not answering me, this is coherence, but he's asking me to make the definition so that I make this effort of thinking and reorganizing my patterns.
Right now.
Or my definitions. I think there's a lot of changes in definitions of everything, but he's saying we don't believe in wealth and health, and then you have to go and think why will he say that?
Right. And as I read this, I'm amazed at how simple this McLuhan stuff is, how repetitive. He says the same thing in every newsletter. It's ridiculous. Today, people are way more sophisticated. They may not understand McLuhan, but they're used to processing information rapidly. 50 years ago, people didn't process information as a mandatory thing. Everything was just entertainment at best. And
that
they started
the hidden ground.
Going to seminar. What?
That was the hidden ground before. But.
Right. Yeah, people with big deals start to go to a workshop, go to a panel, go to a symposium. That was the beginning thing. And here's McLuhan, he's like providing the most comprehensive symposium. So it's all very quaint now, but it's good to show, it's the rearview mirror showing us how much we've changed. Now people try to get jobs being life coaches in seminars. That's a big role player in information society.
That's the real conflict between the generations, the speed at which each generation processes the patterns and the information.
Right, and it requires imagination for the parent to figure out what the kid is missing from his new abilities, his ability to live faster, you know? And most parents can't do that. They don't know what's going on. They're just reacting to irritating tonalities coming from their kids, and they don't know where they came from. And they
cough. For example, the cell phones are all, or the computers, the laptops, are making all these noises all the time. You got a mail, somebody answer your chat, all these little things, clunk. Yeah.
Right.
And maybe older generations are not engaging so much with the media. They may use it just
they do
very
perfunctory
little.
Emailing their granddaughter. You know, email their granddaughter. That's if there even is a family.
Say, happy birthday.
Yeah. But the Alvin Toffler in the late 60s, early 70s, when he did Future Shock, would say, you know, the Super Bowl and birthdays were important events in American culture because it allowed people who are lost and bewildered to have a ritual connection with their family or with who they're involved with. But you see, most people are on medication, 30 drugs. The kids are on drugs. Everybody's medicate themselves because the birthdays don't hold things together anymore. You know, it's too many bodies, too much going on. So everybody has become completely, the deeper you see this, how irresponsible people are, the way they live their lives and the way they hide from what's going on with all their medication in different forms, including being a rock star or a rock musician like Dylan on tour all the time is kind of like ignoring a lot of stuff. I can see why I, non-physical, decided these humans are gone. People don't realize that I had to show up at this point because they don't realize how fucking bad it was. You know what I mean? In normal human interaction.
Yeah. They wanted to.
And then the chemistry.
Wait a minute. Eliza was going to say something, I think. Let's hear what Eliza. What were we going to say, Eliza?
I said that's very common because they just want to escape whatever they're feeling, whatever they're going through.
Yeah.
They don't want to. They can't handle it.
They want to escape connecting to other people. That's it. The chemical body is a burden. And McLuhan began saying that divorce would increase in TV households in the 60s because TV made your average chemical life appear menacing. So that was the beginning, and now it's absurdly beyond that. You know, it's the Niagara Falls of annoyances. What were you going to say, Roxy?
Yes, we know now that there is a connection on the chemistry of the body. That's why we got the RNA drugs. And how we perceive also not only our outer environment, but the non-physical. Like,
that's right. When people report, often the drops makes them feel less involved with the chatter of their mind. They have a kind of detachment, a relaxed detachment. That's actually enhancing your tactility. If the tactility organ is the thing that's not identifying with the data, it's just molding it. The RNA drops actually give you a heighten your tactility, the detached part of your tactility, and also
it's
makes
like,
you more energetic.
Making the connections, the pattern recognition we have to make, the knowing. It's like there was a disconnection with the fall between the perception and what really is, or...
Now, you say a disconnection with the fall. What does that mean?
When we fell, somehow we could not perceive the tonalities the same. Because, for example, when you say a little man sees an ascended person and he sees a giant.
Right.
So
something,
yeah.
Well, what I did, Carolyn, is I had the other one ready, so I shut off. Your phone shut off, I think. If you're on the... Well, what phone are you on?
Yes, and medias are...
Oh, yeah, you can still be on, but mine was dying, so I disconnected it. I'm on the other phone now. Okay, what were you saying, Roxy?
We have a lot of sensory information coming to us and a lot of patterns. And I always
have
the impression that...
Well, it's so extreme... Let's remember what Odegaard said.
The fear of,
people
the fear
record.
Of Illuminati and Big Brother is really the fear of the not understanding this.
Yeah, that's right.
This, the speed of the information.
And Baudrillard made a good point. He said people recorded, this is back 25 years ago, he said that people would record movies on the VCR and never get around to watching them. So he said, well, you might as well look at it as that the TV watches the movie for you. And that's the beginning of the sense the machines are living for you. The Android meme has taken over. That's a major factor here. And one of the alleviating ideas that I offer is the machine ain't talking to you anymore. Like you'll see in Alan Cabal's this week, he said, I don't even care about the news anymore. If we're watching this guy, you know, disintegrate. I will bother you, Roxy. We'll read it. We'll do it after you're gone. But he is exhausted by the bad, how news is so ridiculous.
I understand why I don't like him. He has such a low tonality. Really?
Yeah, he stubbornly will refuse to get the big picture. He just reacts, constantly reacting, getting pissed off. But the thing is all he needs to know, he still thinks the news is talking to him. And he's getting to the point where, oh, yeah, this news is not talking to me. It's so bad, who would pay attention to this?
These things you said about the TV watching for you just make me think about it. Because for example, I archive a lot of things I want to read later. I bookmark web pages and this
right.
and that. And of course,
and you don't.
Archiving. Well, maybe I just scan them, but I don't really. For example,
right.
I read something The Wake and Ulysses, and but I don't. I haven't until now read really slow the whole Wake and the whole Ulysses.
Right. Here, I want to give you, before you go, a big pattern. So I'm rereading Ulysses, and it's about Odysseus or Ulysses encountering these different monsters and different scenes. One of the things he encounters is the Cyclops, a giant, giant one-eyed human kind of thing. And,
he was only ascended, but his tonality made him.
Yes, he was ascended.
Yeah.
So.
Cyclops.
In reading the details about the Cyclops, there was a tribe of them, and they didn't relate to each other. I'm going to just mute for a minute. There's a lot of
all
echo.
Participants are now muted.
The Cyclops. Why is that? I got to bring up something here. Where is that? Put this down to headphones, right? With the. All right, that might work. No, let me bring up this. How do I get that? How do you get the Skype to the no button? How do you turn on? How do you get to your microphone images? Ah, there it is. Okay. So the Cyclops are these giants, and they don't. Damn! What's that causing that stupid echo?
Line muted.
Does that work there? Yeah. Can you guys now? Can you? It's not working. I'm waiting.
Line unmuted.
Fix it, Bill. Maybe it says Carolyn's on. Maybe it's Carolyn. Right on the other phone. Okay, this is important. The Cyclops, they all individually live in a cave. Individually live in their caves. They don't relate to each other. They're very antisocial. They don't do anything in a tribal sense of rituals or together. So McLuhan said that there was a human situation before the tribal. He said the ancient humans would live in isolated by themselves. So you can imagine that was the caveman reality. So the caveman's wandering around before he's socialized by speech and ESP, by motor, operating separately. Well, the Cyclops are the image of pre-tribal man. This has probably never been said about the mythology. And that's why McLuhan says today we are cavemen. We are one-eyed people because we lost our visual space, which are two-eyed people. So he has on the cover of Cultures Our Business a guy with an eye patch on. He's a Cyclops. So actually, McLuhan described how we were becoming cavemen and post-tribal, getting atomized by our digital matrices and turning into Cyclops. Now, my point is that this is pretty amazing that Joyce, whether he knew it or not, included the pre-tribal history of man as a Cyclops, an antisocial, non-connected human being, which is the way Ayn describes us just after we fell or even when we're ascended. So I wanted to mention that. I'll open the mic again.
All participants are now unmuted.
Amazing idea that I remember now that you said that is what he says about advertisement being education. Yes, for many people, what they know is reduced to what they can consume, what is available to make them happy.
And they like ads that are about products that they bought. That's how they learn what the product means, by reading the ad about it.
Yes, and they define their identities by consuming a product. It's like with the Marlboro Man. They thought, if I smoke Marlboros, I'm this new David, and I embody all this masculinity.
Now, that would be the new paganism. That's people no longer identifying with their senses, but identifying with the objects which are extensions of their senses, which is the beginning of virtual reality or Android meme.
Yes, and I remember this thing about that because he said advertisement is the new cave painting of the 20th century, something like that.
That's right, the cave art. Advertising is the cave art of suburbia.
Yeah, it's the environment. It's everywhere.
And you look at the chart he made to symbolize, to outline Ulysses. He has the wandering rocks, which are wandering citizens in the streets, the anonymous of walking the public streets, and he calls them the blood. And then he calls it the labyrinth, the blood
labyrinth. It's very interesting if we think about perception. For example, you see a McDonald's logo, and just this M gives you already a lot of information in your head.
Right.